This is Revive Chicago. Listen and be changed.
All right. Come on up here, Sam. I've known Sam a long time. Watched him grow in the Lord. Hopefully been a... that's mine, yeah. You can... Thank you. Yeah, it's a little magnetized thing because I'm prone to drop it. But I just want to say I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of this youth group that you've just gotten to shape and pour into. And you can see, I can see the fruit of you and Hannah and everything that you've invested in them. And I'm really proud of you and all that you're doing. And I'm excited to hear from you this morning.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah. Well, thank you. Jeez, that was a little emotional to start it off. So just real quick, so I disclaimer, I'm used to speaking to youth, so if I make a poop joke, just know it's just like habit. Or if I like awkwardly try and connect it to like waiting for marriage to have sex, like if I make a weird connection there, that's just my crowd. So just bear with me on that. So anyway, to introduce myself. So I'm Sam. This is my beautiful wife, Hannah. Hannah, stand, do a twirl for him. No, don't do a twirl. That's weird. This is my wife. So we've been married 5 years. We actually both grew up at Revive Church. We were babies in Smithton. So we were both kids in Smithton. And we grew up, went through the Smithton revival. Then we moved to Kansas City. We went through the Daystar revival. So we've been there a really, really long time. Seen a lot, met a lot of people. With Smithton, I think, what was it, 400,000 people or something crazy to a town of, I don't know, like 300 or, I don't, 532? Oh, wow. Okay, she's talked about this before. All right, so 532 people, they had over like 400,000 or some crazy a number of people came and experienced God. So Hannah and I have just seen a lot and met a lot of people through that experience. So a couple other things I was just going to get. We got a kid on the way, October 1st. I'm excited about that. We're the youth leaders at Revive Church. We love these kids, man. They're so anointed. Just really, really proud of them. They've really stepped up. And the hardest thing, a really hard thing about music is it can be a little emotional. So it can be hard collaborating and working with each other sometimes because there's this weird emotional thing where it's like, this is my song, like my voice, you know? So I'm just really proud of them because most high schoolers can't do that. Like they can't, it's just ramming into each other all the time. So I'm just really proud of them for doing that. So great job guys on that. So awesome. Another thing too, I'm a business owner. So you might hear some of that language. I'm really, really big on activity. I'm really big on pursuit, on being a driven person in Christ and actually looking to produce something in the kingdom of God. I'm really big on that. And so you'll see that kind of fused throughout, this message. So I'm going to try and keep it within the time frame. I'm a rambler. So just, if I start rambling, I'll just look at you guys and I'll be like, yeah, they're checking out. So and I'll move on. So, or my wife will be like, you know, come on, let's move it on. So I kind of want to get in here. So my objective, I'm going to go right in. My objective here this morning is just to encourage you guys, to re-energize you guys a little bit. I know there's been a lot of changes here, in Chicago, different places, different speakers, different things, technical difficulties, whatever it is, right? I just want to re-energize, encourage you guys, that what you guys are doing, the strength, the momentum up here, people that come and visit here, they come back to Kansas City and they're like, dude, they're hungry up there, man. There's something going on. There's something stirring up there. So, just so you guys know that is like the feedback we're hearing. And I just, you know, I want to just encourage you guys. That's amazing. You know, that's amazing. You guys are the real deal up here. It's awesome. So my objective here is just to re-energize you guys. I believe after I speak here, we're going to have some time for prayer. And I know normally you guys stream. So one thing is the musicians, they can play and kind of help set the atmosphere a little bit. and they can flow with the Holy Spirit while you guys are receiving prayer. And that changes that dynamic a little bit. And so what I want to do is I want to do a good, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes of prayer time where you guys can really receive. You know, we'll have some people come up and pray for you guys and things like that. So I wanted to talk about a couple things real quick. I shared briefly last night with the young adults, but I had this in my notes for today too. But I've seen people get prayer. I've personally received prayer. I was feeling a lot of weight. I had one of my best friends growing up walked away from the Lord. And that like really like weighed on me a lot. And I was feeling the pressure of it. The person praying for me didn't know that. Like they had no idea that I was going through that. And she came up and she prayed for me and she said, I feel like you're carrying the weight of your friend's faith. And that is not your responsibility. Like that's not your burden to carry. Like it's not your job, right? It's your job to go, right? Be a representation to go after them, but it's not your weight. It shouldn't be weighing you down, right? So, and she spoke right to the root of it. And it was crazy. She had no idea I was going through that. And I walked off the prayer floor feeling freedom from that, feeling a release of the weight of that. I've watched my uncle actually was a meth addict. He has some crazy stories, but, he was a dealer and did all that. But he got prayer. Pastor James prayed for him, walked off the prayer floor completely clean after that, ever since. One prayer, walked completely away from the lifestyle, relocated all in on Jesus. That's just the power of God. That's the presence of God. It can do things that problems you try and fix for years and years and years and years. It's insane that one moment can actually just revolutionize that entire problem. It can change it all. So I'm telling you guys some of this stuff because I believe God's going to do that. I think it's going to be available after service today for whoever wants that. And I think there's a misconception with prayer time that you have to have a problem. And I don't want to just be okay. Like I want to thrive. So like if you're okay right now, congratulations. You know, like awesome. Yay. You know, but let's like if you have something you're going after, if you want to thrive, if you want to actually grow, God's all about that. He's all about that. And so if you're like, man, well, I don't really have a problem. So why are we going for prayer? Why don't you just go for prayer? Because maybe there's something God wants to unlock in you that you don't know is there right now. And so tonight or today after, again, I want to open it up. If you have a problem, if you don't have a problem, if everything's great and awesome, maybe there's new things. Maybe there's fresh things he wants for you, has in store for you. So wanted to hit on that. The second thing was, this has been just a big practice in my life when I receive prayer. I think people get up and they focus on the issue a lot. They focus on, here's my problem, you know, rather than focusing on softening their heart to receive the prayer. I'm going to let this person be a prophet, be a prayer to advocate to God for me and speak into my life. And so when I go to receive prayer, I actually focus more on softening my heart to receive more so than I focus on, well, hopefully we get from point A to point B here because I really got to get this problem figured out, you know? I think you just see a lot more results if you focus more, you know, guard your heart above all else. What? You know? So when you're receiving that prayer, guarding your heart, keeping that heart soft. So again, I just kind of wanted to set that tone a little bit that for after service, there's going to be time for that. Focusing on a soft heart, responding. It's okay if you don't have an issue. God wants to see you thrive too. He wants to see you thrive. So, awesome. So the word I wanted to bring, the word I kept hearing when I was praying for the church is the word activity. Activity. It's not a big word used in the kingdom of God, but that was the word I was feeling on God's heart for you guys. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 19:6. This is a super weird story to preach on. So, but God was like, that one. I was like, okay. So bear with me on that. But 1 Samuel 19, and we're going to start with verse 6. So set the scene a little bit for you guys. So Saul is king of Israel. He basically, before war, the prophet, the man of God, would come and do sacrifices to God. And Saul got impatient, and he did it himself. And he felt he was justified, and his heart was hardened towards God. And anyway, so now Saul is king. David's anointed to be king. David has this calling on his life. It's obvious, it's clear, and he's serving King Saul. So he's like sitting right there, right? King Saul's like, well, shoot, you know, I got to step it up, right? So Saul's feeling some bitterness. He's feeling some resentment towards David. So he plots to kill David. He tells Jonathan and some others, and Jonathan warns David about this thing. So Jonathan goes to talk to Saul to get him to stop from killing David. So we're going to start there. In verse 6, he says, so Jonathan goes, he speaks to him. So verse 6, this is Saul's response. Listen to this. So Saul listened to Jonathan and vowed, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. Okay, that's a big promise. Afterward, Jonathan called David and told him what had happened. Then he brought David to Saul, and David served in the court as before. And go to verse 8 here. War broke out again after that, and David led his troops against the Philistines. He attacked them with such fury that they all ran away. But one day when Saul was sitting at home with a spear in hand, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him again. As David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David. But David dodged out of the way, leaving the spear stuck in the wall. He fled and escaped into the night. So what stood out to me about this verse is what happened between verse 6 and then the spear throwing verse. Like, what in the world happened? The verse where Saul says, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. Okay, that's where we started. And now we're at Saul hurled his spear. It's like, what are you doing, man? You just said you know. So the question I wanted to ask this morning, and the question that I felt like God has really wanted to put on our hearts is what changed? What was Saul doing between those two moments, between those two verses? And it actually talks about what his activity was in here, what he was doing. So I want to kind of zero in on that part right here. So 1 Samuel 19:9. But one day when Saul was sitting at home with spear in hand. So Saul's just sitting there, just soaking in his frustration with David, twirling a spear in his hand, just thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And a lot of times the kings would go out to war with the troops, with the armies. And I think it's just kind of funny that David went out. Where was Saul? Where was Saul's activity? Where was Saul's interaction in that? He was just sitting at home. So I believe this morning here at Revive Chicago, I think this room is full of a lot of mighty warriors, a lot of people, kings, royalty of heaven, the kingdom of God. You've been given anointing on your head and a spear in your hand to fight. But I wanted you guys to maybe just check and see, in your faith, have you been just sitting at home? I really think that as Christians, we can get really comfortable in the palace, and we're not as comfortable in the battlefield, in the trenches. And that's a big part of our faith. And I talk to the youth about this all the time because the statistic of high schoolers that follow Jesus after high school is pretty low. And what I think it is that faith without activity is boring. The Bible literally says it's dead. And honestly, if you tell me that this is just a book, that Jesus is just a man that I say, oh, I just believe in him, you know, it's boring. There's nothing. What makes you stick to that? I get it. I get why people walk away. And I think what it is it's a result of a lack of activity. I think it's a result of sitting at home, twirling the spear, frustrated about things. And a test I always talk to them about is if you compared your life to an atheist, how much different does it look? It's pretty hard to do missions. It's pretty hard to bring people into the church when the people in the church are struggling with the same stuff. What's the pitch? And so I think, sure, we can struggle with it, but are you actually doing any activity to face it, to confront it? And I think what would have helped Saul with his frustration, with his problem, is if he would have stepped up. The difference between Saul and David is David owned it when he messed up. He owned it, and then he stepped up again. And when Saul messes up here, he messed up, defended himself, and he sat at home and soaked in it. So I want to turn to another verse here. We're going to turn to James 2:26. I'm sure you guys have heard this verse before. I just spoke to the youth about this too, so you guys got a sneak peek a little bit at this, but God was kind of stirring it. All right. Listen to this, man. It's just so clear. I love this. Okay, James 2:26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So again, it's the activity. So the faith, what is the faith? The faith is saying, I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here. You know, that's the faith element of it. Now, the actual good works element of it is when you actually start to see faith activated a little bit. So when you're struggling with doubt, when you're struggling with things, are you actually doing activity that's feeding your faith? Because things that feed my faith is when I pray on a Saturday night, I'm praying, I'm in my word, I walk into church, this is a small example, and I walk into church on Sunday morning and the pastor preaches from the same verse. That's a really, really small thing, but what it is you're actually doing activity and you're actually trying to connect with the Spirit and you're actually seeing proof of your faith, evidence of your faith, because you're actually doing good work. So for you guys, like people in need, if somebody needs help moving, if you're feeling God say, go encourage that person. That's the good work. That's you actually activating. I'm telling you guys, there's no feeling like when God says, go say this to this person and you go do it and they say, oh my gosh, I just went through this. That was exactly what I needed to hear. That's the activation of faith. That's when things start getting solid and that's when things start getting fun because you actually start seeing some stuff work. And it's way, then at that point, it's way more than a book. So again, just a couple more points here. Don't have too much longer to go, but just hang tight with me. So I think the biggest thing too is, I think in Christianity, we just get really comfortable, in the palace. So like we talk about a lot and we even talked about it in worship and it's a good thing about the Father, about being in the palace, about being royalty. We're called to that level. But when you really look at your life, do you feel like like the activity of your life, the lifestyle, does it actually match that? The royalty that you're called to, the house that you live in, does your lifestyle actually match that? So today, after what I would really, really love for us to kind of focus on in prayer is you guys just being activated today to do something. To move, to start actually seeing your faith play out and work. And so, band, I'm going to have you guys actually go ahead and come up and just start playing. I have a little bit longer to go. So for you guys, like where is Revive Chicago right now? And I would say where you guys are at is, you know, your streaming services and that. I would say like, where's the activity of going out, meeting new people, bringing people in? Where's the activity of you guys getting a band, you know? Like, where's the activity of that? Like, are we praying about that? Are we asking God, how can we activate that? How can we get there? And so I think a big thing that drives doubt is sitting around, is laziness. I think laziness and just sitting around is a huge producer of doubt. So a big thing in business is, you know, if you're not this like huge thing really on the sales side, like if you're not seeing the results, the first place you start is the activity. That's the first place you start. You know, if you're not, this is just the sales of the business side, but if you're not hitting the phones, if you're not going out and meeting new people, if you're not doing this. And I think it's really funny that it's like super clear, black and white in the business world. But then like in the kingdom of God, we're like, man, I'm not seeing the result in my marriage. And then like, where's the activity? Like, are you guys spending time together? Are you reading? Are you getting into marriage books? Are you going and seeing somebody who can help? If you're not getting the results you want, always start with the activity. And I love that. I tell the youth this all the time too. I can promise you 100% it is never God's fault. That's pretty awesome. The hard part about relationships between people is it's pretty unclear who's the problem. Sometimes it's unclear. But with God, I love it, man. Guarantee 100% if I'm having a problem with God, it's me. I like that, man. Okay, that's clear, man. I'm the problem. I got to work it out. I like that. That's super clear. There's not a lot of gray there. And so check your activity. Is coming to church on Sunday the only thing different between you and an atheist? Is that the only differentiator? Because if that is, I've talked to atheists who go to church sometimes because they're bored on Sunday and their friends are there. Wow. Okay, now we're at zero differences. So what are some activities? What are some things? And that's when you're activating your faith. That's when you're checking. Are you really praying for healing for people? Are you listening? If God tells you to bless someone, are you blessing them? Are you living a lifestyle of generosity, a lifestyle of where you're actually activating, you're actually doing things? It's a lifestyle. This whole thing's a lifestyle. And so I think where a lot of Christians go wrong, and I think it happened in COVID, Pastor Aaron. I think this happened a lot in COVID, is that people started sitting around in their faith. They started sitting around, and that's when you start twirling the spear. That's when you start thinking of the people who've offended you. That's when you start thinking about bitterness. You start isolating yourself. You start stirring up things, old things that maybe you've even resolved years ago, and they start stirring up again because you're sitting around. You're just sitting around. And I think COVID really stirred that up in a lot of people. And so what I want for you guys today is that you take that spear, the tools God's given you, the place God's put you in, the voice God's given each of you. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has somebody in your life, someone in your sphere of influence. You're called to impact. You're called to encourage. It's a guarantee. And so I think today God's wanting us to just grab that spear and go step into the place where we're called to step into, which is out in the battlefield. It's not just comfortable in the palace. For me, I want to be as comfortable in the trenches as I am in the palace. I want to be comfortable getting sweaty, moving boxes for a friend of mine because I love him. I want to be as comfortable there as I am sitting in a chair on Sunday morning. I want to be comfortable with that activity. I want to be as comfortable praying for someone I know needs prayer or giving money away to someone I know needs money. I want to be as comfortable in that position as I am raising my hands in church. So you guys can go ahead and stand up with me. So today, if you feel like there's an area in your life you're not seeing the results in, that you want to see the results in, check your activity. We're going to have time. And I told you 20 minutes, so we'll be out at noon if we do 20 minutes of prayer. So there you go. Kept my word. If you're not seeing, though, the results in that any area, it could be any area of life. God touches every area of life. He touches every area. So whatever area of your life you're in right now, there's going to be time up here for you to actually do an activity. Actually step up and receive. And let God pour into your life. Maybe let God change something in your heart. And so, Pastor Aaron, I'm not sure who all is praying, but if you guys wanted to just come up, and Hannah, you could come up too. And we could probably, I think it's the third button down. I don't like it bright when I'm receiving prayer. Oh yeah, we could push it. Yeah, you guys could come up too. Kind of gather up here. That's a good idea. Oh, maybe fourth one. That's too dark. Be whacking each other while we're worshiping. Awesome. Yeah, you guys can all scoot up here. So, shoot. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that if there's any area in anyone's life in this room, Father, that they're struggling or they're feeling a weight on their shoulder because of inactivity, Lord, I pray right now that you help them see it. And Father, I pray right now you guide them in the right activities, Lord. If it's financial, Jesus, I pray you teach them and guide them the activities to producing prosperity, Father. If it's a relational issue, Father, I pray you teach them and guide them in the activities of connection and the activities of meeting people where they're at, Father. I just pray right now, Lord, you're blessing your hand on their life, Jesus. Every person in this room, see their faithfulness, see their hunger for you, Jesus, and just bless them, Jesus, bless them. We're going to come out and pray here in just a minute, but I think we'll worship for a minute first.
Thank you for listening today. Now it's time to put your faith into action by applying this word to your life. If you'd like help taking your next steps with Jesus, contact us at revivechicago.church.